This is the PropTech VC Podcast. We give you unique insights into how innovative technologies are disrupting real estate. We interview top entrepreneurs, investors, and knowledgeable experts to share the inside scoop in this fast-moving industry. It's hosted by leading PropTech VC, Zane Jaffer. Let's dive into today's content.
Alana, I think your story is very inspiring for people who are figuring out how to get started. Sometimes you just need to get started, right? And eventually pivot and move with the market. So throughout all of this, what presses on me is that, unlike a lot of founders I talk to, you were very much focused on core values from the start. And core values are sometimes an afterthought. Core values is something companies think about when they reach, you know, 50 people and they're having HR issues, and now they need to have an executive offsite and they need to just do a survey across the company about what matters to you. Whereas if you ingrain your core values from the start, it truly will impact every decision you make. It will impact how you treat your customers, how you hire people, and ultimately how you market your products. So that's impressive, but also building a strategic asset here was your relationships with all the different vendors, but also the different customers, so that one day when your vendors weren't able to supply what you wanted to give to the customers, you already had this huge base of customers who were channeling money through you, and you used that to create a company. And you know, full stack eventually, right? Where you're designing, you're assembling, you're distributing, you're producing. So I think for a lot of people who want to start a company listening to this, I think the advice is just get started. Would you agree? Is there anything else you want to share as advice to people?
Yes. First of all, you need to know how to sell, because if you know, if you don't know how to, let's say, produce office furniture, it's fine. Like, you can learn it. If you don't know how, if you don't know some technical details, it's fine. Like, you can learn it later. But you need to know how to sell, because working at my job as a CEO is constantly selling something to something. I constantly need to sell our core idea of our core values to my own employees. I need to constantly remind them that this is our core value. So basically, I'm selling, you know, this idea to my, you know.
Did you ever get tired? Did you ever feel like you're repeating yourself? Did you ever feel embarrassed that, oh my God, I think I've said this 100 times now, and I'm sure people are laughing at me and thinking, you know, I'm a robot always talking about our core values. Did you ever feel that?
No, because, you know, then I see that our own employees, they kind of do the same to our, like, new team members. It actually makes me really proud, because I know that we are different, and we are not just different because we have written some nice words on our website or, you know, like in our employee handbook. We actually are different than the rest of them. And we actually make sure that no matter what happened, you know, pandemic, you know, something else, we're going to stick to these values, because that's what kind of like helped us in the latest crisis. Because without our values, without us being a team, without our clients believing in us that we, no matter like what's going to happen, everything's going to be all right, we're going to fix everything. Yes, it might take us a little bit longer, but we'll deliver and we'll make sure that everything's going to be happy. So, it doesn't exhaust me. I think it's important, and especially when you come to a market that is already established. You know, I didn't invent an idea of starting an office furniture company. There were many, many, many other office furniture companies and many other producers. And I needed to be unique in order to find my market niche, in order to find my clients. And that just helped me. And
And there's two major points here, two major takeaways. The first one is that if your core values truly reflect who you are, then what you do will never be exhausting. It is an extension of yourself. And that's what core values ultimately are. They stem from the founder and the founder's values, and those are espoused on the employees. And eventually, if it works, you see your initial employees learn the core values immediately and then spread the core values, and eventually it becomes a self-fulfilling cycle. When I alluded earlier to the exhaustion, one thing that you hear in the tech industry, advice to CEOs and founders, is keep repeating things until the point where you feel like you sound like a robot, right? I think it doesn't sound exhausting if you started with it. It sounds exhausting if you try to add core values midway through. Look, complete honesty here. When I ran my company and we grew it to hundreds of people, core values were an afterthought at the beginning. We had some values, like we cared a lot about UX and product, but we didn't really formalize our values and communicate them. We knew what our core values were. Founders always think that everyone else has mind reading skills. This is what makes founders really difficult to work with, because they, we just assume people will do things the way we want them to be done. And I think an executive always realizes, and that's the difference between an executive and a founder, an executive realizes that, you know, you need to create a process, you need to train people, you need to teach people. And sometimes executives are hired by the founder to suck that information out of the founder's head, codify it, and promote it. So it's refreshing to see that you sort of understood that from the beginning, maybe accidentally. But as someone who's seen hundreds of companies, even thousands of companies, I can definitely see there's a difference between companies that start with their core values and companies that eventually introduce core values. And it's like 100 times harder to introduce core values when you're 50, 200, 300 people than when it's just yourself or your co-founder.
I would say that it wasn't an afterthought for us, for sure. We started...
Clearly doesn't sound like it, yeah.
When I started Fresh Ideas for Offices, when we started developing our first furniture lines, even before we thought, okay, like how much, whom we're going to like sell it to, we needed to know like what we actually want to achieve with this product. So before even like going and actually like selling to these clients, first we needed to understand like how it's going to look like. And coming back to Fresh Connect, we also kind of started with the idea that our clients need a toolkit to effectively manage their space. It doesn't matter how small or big they are, if they're a Fortune 500 company or if they're a startup, they need to have a toolkit to effectively manage their existing space.
So that was like the problem statement or even the mission vision statement you started with there and you built around?
Yeah, and then we really tried to find some companies that would just like give us a ready-made solution.
Yeah.
And believing that would be way easier. We just didn't find one and we tried. And again, like coming back to like why we also wanted to, when pandemic hit, we wanted to help our clients. And we knew that they are really struggling because they don't know, there are not enough information on, you know, like what to do. And should they put like, you know, like plexiglass screens everywhere? Should they allow employees back to work, like wearing masks? Should they keep them, you know, forever like working remotely? Like, there were so many questions and our clients, they were kind of like disoriented. They didn't know what to do and whom even to ask. So during April last year, we had calls with corporations, like sometimes 20 calls a day. Sometimes I would work from like 3 a.m. till like 11 p.m. at night, just having calls after calls after calls, speaking to all these companies, and we were trying to give them good advice, but based on like very limited information that we had. So we tried to look at cases that were happening in South Korea. So we already received some information that, for example, like the most effective things that you can do in order to prevent future spread of coronavirus is to just make sure that you're going to clean you know, like ACs, and that plexiglass screens, they don't work as effectively as people would, you know, think they would work. And many, it doesn't mean that you don't need to use them, but at the same time, there are certain limitations and you just need to be as safe as possible. We knew that offices are not going to come back to 90s cubicle style, layouts. Just, you know, it's not going to work in our modern environment when we need.
Was that style still prevalent throughout areas of Europe where you were selling furniture to?
I would say that it's more an American thing, but again, like we work with many American companies that also have offices in Europe and everywhere in the world. So, yeah, and there was this idea like floating around that we might come back to cubicles, and I was just like, no, it's not going to happen. Not even because it's ugly, but also because it's not going to work when you have if your company work on like based on principles of agile and just it's not going to work. You need to have different types of spaces. So and 1 year ago, I was telling my clients that first of all, you need to make sure that you know your employees are going to be safe. That's kind of like most important thing. And yes, that means that you know you need to close your offices for now and just you know. Make sure that whenever they'll come back, you'll follow every possible precautions. So we came up with some like some guidelines on what to do based on like CDC information. We are trying to collect like every possible you know resource at the war. So we kind of came up with some certain strategy on how to help our clients, and our clients also were struggling also you know financially because their businesses took you know serious hit most of them. So we were trying to come up with solutions that would help them save money on their you know on rent, on operational costs, and at the same time make sure that the employees are going to be you know. Safe and happy. So basically, that that's how we started our. That's how we started acquiring clients for Fresh Connect.
So you turned a crisis into an opportunity, and because you really cared so much about. It sounds like you really did care a lot about your customers, even early on when they wanted something, your vendors couldn't or your suppliers couldn't deliver it. You went out and you felt compelled to create your own production facilities to churn out 70 plus brands of furniture. And when the COVID hit, you were trying to package information together, advice together, and really try to help the companies. And that's when you identified an opportunity to launch a startup called Fresh Connect, which now I understand is doing very well.
Kind of, yes, but actually I started Fresh Connect a year before.
Right.
So by that time we already received our like patent for, so basically we became the first touchless booking system in the world, meaning that all of our competitors, they would require you to touch certain screens or press some buttons. And again, during pandemic, it wasn't an appropriate solution, but we just came out with this idea way before the pandemic, and just during pandemic, we were trying to, you know, help our clients adjust and adjust to new reality, whatever it will be, and make sure that they will save money on rent and, you know, provide safe environment for their employees. So that was our goal.
So Elena, let's sort of dive into the different technologies. And I know you've experimented a lot with the different indoor location technologies. You know, you've got NFC, you've got iBeacon, you've got GPS, you've got Wi-Fi, you've got so many different things. Walk us through sort of each of the different technologies you've looked at and maybe help educate the listener on, you know, the pros and cons of the different approaches and how you went ahead and made your decision ultimately.
Yeah, so I'll start from the beginning. So basically, if you want to create a new booking system, this booking system will need some sort of sensors or some sort of touch screens or any sort of device that will allow you to make sure that if you book some space, you actually need to show up and be present in the space in order for you to keep this booking. There can be multiple ways on like what works. You know, there were certain solutions that already existed, let's say like touch screens. So basically, you need to come to the meeting room and like press some buttons that you arrived. There were some companies also that would offer the solutions without any sort of devices. And the problem that they, like our clients encountered that, we actually had a really interesting case here in Boston when there was a company, still there is a company called Chase Phillips. So they had their large, beautiful, innovative office, and there were multiple startups who had the offices in that location. And also they had Techstars that just booked every meeting room like till the end of the year, and other startups, they needed to come to Techstars and ask them, like, please, can we use, you know, your meeting room? So basically, that's the whole reason.
Like an abusive process, really, right? One tenant taking advantage of a system, booking meeting rooms completely for a long duration. You said until the end of the year, all the other startups now are unable to, and the technology holds you back. I mean, that's the danger with when you implement technology. It can backfire in a way you never intended.
Yeah, and it would backfire. Like even if you think that your employees, you know, like are gonna play by the rules, guess what? Like no, they're not gonna play. You know, like if you can hack a system, like someone is gonna hack the system. And of course, like if you work, if you have thousands and thousands of employees in your company, yeah, someone is gonna find a way how to work around it. And again, there are many technologies. We just believe that ours is better because also ours technology is 20 times cheaper than the rest of them. It doesn't require any extra time for installation. It doesn't require any wires. You don't need to go to your landlord and get some certain approvals in order to implement a new booking system. You can just place them like literally like anywhere. You can put them on any desk, any meeting room, any even like lounge chair, like standing in the middle of your office space without, you know, any rooms or anything like that. So basically we just came up with the cheapest and most effective sensor that, you know, you can possibly have. If you're talking about Wi-Fi, and we actually had this conversation before, if you're talking about Wi-Fi, you'll never get, your data is never going to be as accurate as whenever you can actually measure the each specific desk or each specific room. So you can only measure to a point that you have certain Wi-Fi translators. Let's say you have like seven of them for, you know, like for the whole floor, which means that you can only divide your whole space into like seven parts, and it's not going to be particularly so. Basically it's going to be like 100 times less accurate than our solution. And again, like our clients, they kind of like require high standards for this sort of data. So basically we came up with a solution that would help our clients to measure every spot in their you know, in their existing office space, and make sure that they can measure which spaces are going to be used effectively, which spaces are not going to be used effectively, get rid of everything that they don't need right now, because again, it's, you know, it's kind of like pandemic, and they need to rethink the budgets too.